All right. Praise God. Here's the first question I have. The question says, I have always looked at 2 Timothy 4 as if it was only happening now because of what we see all around us and in the times to come, not as if false doctrine and itching ears haven't always been going on in history. Is the difference in that there will be a great number of teachers and even more widespread, or am I looking at it totally wrong? This also comes from reading up on how so many false religions started up. The key to it, and I'll read 1 Corinthians, I mean, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2, 4. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse, we're going to start in verse 3, where it says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And this is, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, here's where I think the question was good, because I think all of us may have thought what we see now always went on, right? And we tend to say that sometimes. We'll say everybody does it. Always goes on. One thing you've heard me say many times is the Bible is our source of truth. So when the Bible gives us something, it's like that one verse where it says the grace of God has appeared to all men. So some may go, I can't see how that is. The Bible says it is. So in the same way, what this is implying when it was written is that it wasn't either as widespread or didn't exist in that way. In other words, men did not put up with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine wasn't one of the things. Either they were totally against God or they were for God. You just didn't have that in the middle like we have now. And teachers weren't as accessible as that time were coming. And it's a time where this is happening. So what we're in right now, it's become so normal to us. Sometimes it's very easy for us to kind of put it off as, oh, this is something that's always been happening. And we'll also look at it as false religion. This is not necessarily pointing at the false religion part. The false religion, as the Bible shows, has always been around, as we see in 2 Peter, as we see in Jude. That's not what this is talking about. Even though it ends up being false, it's false within the church. That's the problem. In fact, the order of my steps coming up is going to be on easily misled. And that's what's happening, which people are going to mainstream churches and we're hearing what we want to hear. Now, some may say, well, isn't that false religion? It is, but it's within the church. That's what makes it a terrible time. See, when you hear of Jehovah's Witnesses, when you hear of the Mormons, that's where we immediately can call them cult, because they're a whole nother organization sometimes trying to pull people out of the church. Okay, you got that. But what tends to happen with in the church, and it's still being called church, but the stuff that they're teaching is either to please the congregation or just to make, you know, its constituents, whatever, happy, not realizing they have cult-like, you know, practices. And that's why I'm saying it's going to be a terrible time where you're going to even see in churches, the church is not going to put up with sound doctrine. It's going to allow itself to put up with it. So it's implying that, no, this hasn't been happening all the time. And we're in this time. And that's what makes it so dangerous. You go to church. And this is why I encourage, be a skeptic in a way that it has to be proven. Every time I hear any word, even from when I'm checking myself or whatever, I got to check the word. I think some of us become lax. We hear somebody, we get comfortable with them. And you're going to see that when we do the order of my steps. But hopefully that answered it, that the source of truth let us know, no, this is happening in the spot where it's not supposed to be happening within the church. Other questions?
Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
Okay, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Where does that imply that it's in the church today?
When this is put up with sound doctrine, first of all, the world does not put up with doctrine at all. The world isn't. Anytime it's talking about the Bible, what some churches have done, and this is another form of this false thing, is they'll act like when it says something that the church is doing today, they'll go, oh, it's not talking about churches, talk about sinners. And like 1 Corinthians 5:9 even breaks that down, where it says, if a person is doing this group of stuff and they're in the world, we're not talking about them. We're talking about those who call themselves a brother and does this stuff, if that makes sense. So when it's talking about not put up with sound doctrine, the world doesn't put up with doctrine at all. So we know immediately, oh, wait, this is talking about us. You know what I mean? This is talking about the church. And what the church's responsibility is to teach sound doctrine. And he says, it's going to come a time where that doctrine is gone.
Okay,
makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So, And reading, I'm having a hard time. Got earplugs, I can't hardly hear. And reading First Chronicles 28:20.
First Chronicles
28:20.
Okay.
So the words that David spoke to Solomon are almost, I think he was talking about the temple building at that time, mm-hmm. identical to the words, word for word almost, of what God spoke to Joshua when he was going into Jordan.
Yeah.
So how can this be, or are these common phrases that they use when a difficult situation was at hand?
All I can do is agree if they were common situations. I can't commentary even say something to that because it pointed to that as well. Nowhere can you find why he said the exact words. Could be an encouraging word coming straight from God, or God could have gave it to him to say it. However it is, we don't really get why that is, but you're absolutely right. It is common, but I don't have a why on that.
Oh, okay. I just struck me because Joshua 1:9 is one of my favorite scriptures. And then I was mm-hmm. reading that and said, well, this is the same thing you said in to Joshua. That's yep. what I was wondering about. Yep. Okay.
Good catch.
I was reading about the temples, and I don't know why. I guess I got confused because we were talking about, you know, Solomon building a temple. I don't know why I didn't realize that he built the first temple, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so God didn't give him the dimensions. David gave him the plan for the temple. I think I got it mixed up with the ark because God gave the instructions for the ark.
Right.
So then the second temple mm-hmm. was in Hebron, right?
Yes, Hebron, yeah.
Okay, so.
Now the traveling temple as we know it was given to Moses, but go on with that. You know what I mean? That's what they used to travel when they would build that temple, but that was a teardown temple. This
like a
first temple
one.
Was, yeah, portable temple. That's a good way of putting it. That's the right way of putting it.
So when the ark was built, okay, God gave instructions for that. So why, or maybe we don't know why did he not give instructions for the temples that were built? Is that because they were the idea of man and not of God, or what?
Say it again.
I was wondering why God didn't give the instructions as, you know, the dimensions like he did for the ark, for the
right.
temples that were built. Is yep. that because they were idea of the man and not from God, or what, or no?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I could give you some reasons why I may think, but that's all they would be. It's nowhere that says he gave precise dimensions of the ark when he built that for us to know, but why didn't he do it? Because he kind of gave it even to, not even dimensions wise, but when he built the portable one, he gave more dimensions than he did on the final one. He gave more of what needs to be where. And in some cases, we got some measurements in some places, but overall, you're right, there's some things lacking. Why he didn't go into why he gave more detail on one and not on the other.
It almost makes you wonder if the ark was more important than a dwelling place, you know, like.
Or that it was meant for a time, for the time that it was meant for, and man would try to copy it.
Right.
It could be either or. So, you know what I mean? That's what I said. I have my reasons, and that's a good reason there. And they're all reasons. I just want to be careful so the reasons don't turn into the answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yep. Other questions?